This is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Today is Saturday, October the 18th, 2014, on this live edition of Angry Beaver Radio, broadcasting live from the globalist-occupied country known as Kanatistan, just north of the USSA. Eh? So what's going on this week? I noticed this story here out of Ontario. Our Ontario Premier, Emperor Kim Jong-un, liberals won't release details of Mars office tower deal, reporting out of the CBC. The Ontario Liberal government is refusing to make public its justification for taxpayer-funded loan of more than $200 million that went toward a money-losing office tower in downtown Toronto. It was actually $224 million, to be more specific. Now, this Mars Discovery District is a not-for-profit corporation founded in Toronto, 2000. Its stated goal is to commercialize publicly funded medical research and other technologies with the help of local private enterprises, and as such as a public-private partnership, kind of like what Mussolini describes as corporatism. As part of its mission, Mars says Mars helps create successful global businesses from Canada's science, technology, and social innovation. Now, the Liberal Party, they won't disclose what this $224 million went to or for, or where is it now. All we know is it's gone. And they'll rationalize and say, oh, well, they're doing medical research and they're doing such great things and we need to spend the money on it. But further investigation shows that the company's CEO was making $534,000 a year in 2010. So does that sound like a not-for-profit, somebody who's doing something not-for-profit, giving themselves over $500,000 salary in a year? And that salary she's giving herself is coming out of the Ontario taxpayers' pocket. Where is it going to? I mean, what is it being spent on? Nobody seems to know. But it's just ridiculous. And I mean, in was it April of 2010, criticism of the $471,000 salary collected by Mars CEO was raised. The issue was raised. So now I guess they used to make $471,000. Now it's $534,000. You know, inflation, right? Need those that extra $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like it's a ridiculous tower. It's like a big glass building right in the middle of downtown. I guess in that area they call it the hospital area. I guess where all those hospitals are in a row. It's right near there, and right near UFT too. I guess that's where they could say their research. You know, supporting students, supporting young entrepreneurs, medical research. And apparently it's a lot of vacancies, though. It's a lot of it's just empty because who knows how much they're charging for rent or whatever to get in there.
Yeah, and then what is it costing, like $500,000 a month to run the thing? And it's vacant. It's mostly vacant, and it's costing them like a $500,000 a month or something.
Yeah, that's just on the interest on what's already on that hundreds of millions they've already spent. And it's just for one building.
So that's just the interest on that.
Yeah.
Is $500,000. So that doesn't include the heat or the hydro or.
No, they'll give their own subsidy for that because it's a, that's probably the public part. You know, it's like free energy for
that. Well, that free energy. That's why they made it all out of glass. The worst thing for insulation. the lowest R value. Hey, let's build a glass building in the middle of Canada. No insulation. It'll be cold as hell. And we'll just don't worry about how much heat we waste because it's on the taxpayer's dollar. Meanwhile, our energy prices are going up like what? 54% over the next 10 years. Kim Jong-un is telling us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, they'll give the details, but it's just at the right time.
Yeah. They said that we're okay with being transparent at the right time, you know,
yeah.
After we've taken and spent all the money and you can't get it back.
Then yeah, that was one of Kim Jong-un's top associates, Han Dong.
Han Dong.
Yeah, MPP for Trinity Spadina, I think.
Holy.
And that might even be the same area that that building is in, because that's part of downtown and... The whole thing with having it called the Mars building also is, seems a bit sketchy just because if you watch the, G.I. Joe series, they put, Destro's Corporation is called the Mars Corporation. Right. And when you're looking at what Cobra is doing in the, with their Mars thing is that, they create like, seems to be like medical device, like a, you know, it's like almost like flying syringes, but they call them nanomites. They're these kind of robots to infect everyone. So it's like, who knows what kind of research is going on. Well, whenever you see cutting edge research, yeah.
But this, yeah. This Mars company appears to be completely different than like the Mars bars.
Yeah, exactly. And which is another sketchy one too, though, even the Mars bars.
Because we had, Dr. John Robb on the broadcast, he's a veterinarian, and he was talking to us about pet vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
And folks can find that archive over on truthfrequencyradio.com or Angry Beaver Radio, and you can find that archive. But he had a battle with the Mars Corporation, the chocolate bar guys. Apparently, they own a bunch of PetSmart, and they deal in a lot of pet foods. And there's quite a bit of shady things going on there. So just not to confuse the two, we're talking about this Mars corporate not-for-profit corporation. You know, I say that loosely, with a $5.5 million yearly salary the CEO is stealing from the Canadian taxpayers.
Yeah, it's directly connected with the corrupt Canadian government and possibly with Cobra.
With Cobra, yes.
Oh. That's what we're dealing with here. This is how big it is, like, just for, this is just one small scam they have, actually. It's just getting, headlines here because the other parties have been able to get that disclosure or whatever, you know, the openness and transparency. At the right time after the election, you know, we're like a few months after the election.
So this $224 million new scam that's just come out is on the heels of the re-election, well, they weren't re-elected, but the Liberals are in for a second term because the old Liberal Party leader ran away after stealing over a billion dollars from the taxpayers in the gas plant scam here in Ontario. And then so Kim Jong-un stepped in, was not elected, but then the people of Ontario have Stockholm Syndrome, so they voted her in. And and she's involved in the billion-dollar gas plant scam. So now, yeah, you know,
she signed a lot of the key documents. That's why it was. It wasn't a totally clean transition. Like they didn't even choose a Liberal that was clean. You know, they chose just one of McGuinty's like top associates. You know, like,
yeah.
So it's like. It's just more of the same. And then when Delta McGuinty reappeared a few weeks ago, they revealed that he's now a registered lobbyist for the government because he's working on a education software company or something. So they are still trying to get the youth. And then that's one of the scandals with Delta McGuinty actually was that he allowed the changes to some drastic changes they tried to get through on the sex education, but then a lot of the parents were able to stop like the some of those radical stuff. They're some kind of new curriculum. And then that's one of their other scandals though is that the guy that was involved with that curriculum has now been charged with child pornography charges, which is like, it's ridiculous. This guy's the guy working on the education curriculum. And then now Delta McGuinty is trying to work on some new, education software. It's like, this is the future of schools probably is that every kid's going to have an iPad or a laptop and they're going to have, you know, you're going to have to use the state public school software.
Right.
on your device.
Well, just to recap, we got Dalton McGuinty, or Dalton McGuilty, who was the Premier of Ontario years ago. He ran away with his tail tucked between his legs because of the billion-dollar gas plant scam that Kathleen Windbag, a.k.a. Kim Jong-un, the current Premier of Ontario, was also involved in. So after the billion-dollar scam, she steps in after he runs away. She proceeds to advocate running up to the election a 10-cent per liter gasoline tax, and gasoline's already taxed, so she wanted to put a tax on top of the tax it's already taxed on. Mm-hmm. And she also discussed a, what was it, 45 or 55% hydro increase. It was, I believe it was 55% hydro increase over the next 5 years or 8 years. But it's like, just, it's ridiculous. And the people voted for her when she openly mm-hmm. announced she wanted to do this. And now we're dealing with another $224 million Mars office building scam where, you know, we're paying a bunch of CEOs to do who knows what. We're paying them ridiculous amounts of money. I don't know. Where does it end? I mean, it's just like, it's so lunacy. It's so crazy. It's like a cartoon. It is like a bunch of cartoon bad guys like Cobra from the bloody movie came in and took over the government. And
exactly. And their other scam is, and I saw this, I actually went down to City Hall this week, in front of City Hall, at least in front, they've got, right near where the fountain is, it's a huge board. It's a digital display countdown to the Pan Am Games. Right. And that's what it just reminded me of, just because that's turned into a huge spending spree. It's turned to $2.4 billion Pan Am Games. It's like, I think it's a less than 1 month event with the whole games in total, so.
What do they do? Do they just kick a soccer ball around a field?
Yeah.
Does it cut, like, I'm pretty sure I can go like $10, buy a soccer ball and go play for that amount. And I can keep that ball and play over and over again. I don't see why it costs $2.4 billion to play soccer.
Yeah. A few hundred million on, I think it was an aquatic center in Scarborough, some state-of-the-art aquatics.
But every time, like, there's some big sporting event, any of these big major cities, whether it's the Olympics or the Pan Am Games or any of these big events, World Cup or anything, mm-hmm. they build all this new crap. And it's like, what happened to the crap you built last time? You just bulldoze it, or you just, it's not shiny enough. We have to build a new one. And yet, all these countries are in huge amounts of debt. Like, look at Brazil. I mean, like, all these homeless people living on the bloody streets. And they don't got money to even feed their people, but or have even clean running water, but they got money for all these big fancy soccer stadiums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now they're still doing it with their Olympics coming up too. And it's like, are people any better off down there?
Yeah, I mean, if you can't, you know, if you got people starving and dying of thirst in your country, I don't think, you know, even having an Olympic team is even on the list of priorities. Like, maybe some clean water would be top of the list. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, and the other, so this is what the infrastructure part, they know some of the pricing with the Pan Am Games, just because they're actually building the stuff, and some of the stuff, you know, they're probably going to be behind on or whatever, you know, it's like probably runs over budget or whatever. But the one thing they say they can't really factor in is the cost for security, and because they don't know how much, somehow they say they don't even know how much that's going to be. They're just at the whim of whatever the private security contractor they got
right
is going to charge them. So it's like, who knows how much they'll be, you know, 2.4 billion, 2.5 billion, who knows. And then they're building the Athletes Village, which is looks like it's a state of the art, you know, Agenda 21 type of housing that they're going to use after the athletes, you know, leave. They're going to going to have it as a new housing area, and they call it the Canary District.
Right. So because it'll be like a bunch of jailbird houses. It'll be like, right. Go live in your cage. So it'd be a bunch of little sustainable Agenda 21, 10 by 10 little closets that the athletes can sleep in while they're at the games. And then they'll sell these things, probably $300,000 to $400,000 a pop there to a bunch of morons in Toronto. I'll give you 400 grand. An Olympic athlete slept in that closet with the jail core on it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the point we're at in Ontario now. And now you know why we're one of the most in debt in the whole world, they say, I guess. Because these are just a few of the spending sprees they're on.
Yeah, our debt is pretty high. People look at America's debt, you know, here in Canada, and they're like, oh, my God, they're screwed. And it's like, yeah, well, you're not breaking it down percentage-wise. We're just as screwed. We're even more screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Ontario's more bankrupt than California.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Really bad. Not as bad as Detroit or Michigan, I don't think, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't have the water shortage California's got, too. That's one thing we still got is Lake Ontario, even though we're stuck with the fluoride and the pollution, I guess, of the water. But at least it's not at least it's like fresh water or whatever.
Yeah, we could, if you know how to filter it yourself, you don't got to worry about running out of water. But, yeah, the Great Lakes definitely aren't as clean as they could be.
Because you know I heard the California, they had a state's congress or whatever, state's person putting a thing to do time showers.
Time showers?
Were we talking about that before? Yeah.
Like right. Well, I mean, there's an issue there. There's a lot of industries that are sucking up the water from the interior that probably shouldn't have the go-ahead. I mean, it should be for agricultural and then residential. The water. Mm-hmm. Instead, yeah. It's being sucked up by any industry with a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. So, they'll just put it on the consumer. Like, that's why they'll do a time shower. They'll do, like, timers on your tap so you can't keep them on.
Well, it's also includes the fracking industry out there is appears to be using as much water as they want. And the water isn't available. You can't be sucking up that water. There's not enough. It needs to go to the agriculture and the residents.
Yeah.
Instead, you got companies like, you know, you got companies like Nestle drilling for water and sucking up water around those drought areas. And it's like, what are you guys doing? Why don't you go to the ocean and convert ocean water into fresh water? Stop stealing all the interior. I mean, yeah, Nestle does that up on the Great Lakes, but that's not that big of an issue compared to them doing it in a area that's hit by drought.
Yeah, I remember the California water shortage was like a cause of concern during the ice bucket challenge. Remember they're showing all the all the people are doing ice bucket challenge.
And
they're supposed to be conserving water.
Over the years, many of the fruit orchards have died. Right, like they ran out of water because of the drought, and they're dead. Those trees are dead, and it'll take. You know, when the drought's gone, then they can start from scratch. And what, it'll take 25 years for the tree to mature before they can start getting fruit off it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible. It's not the same as losing a crop of vegetables, like a crop of carrots or corn or something, because you grow back every year, right? From seed. You can't do that with fruit trees.
So yeah.
You get a bunch of fruit trees get wiped out. It's a big impact. And anyways, their water out there, was artificially cut off, and that's why their trees all died. And that was a couple of years ago now, so there's probably even more and more trees dead. But meanwhile, all the oil companies, any oil company that wants to frack, you know, doesn't seem to have any issue with sucking up all as much groundwater as they want in the exact same area because they need a lot of water to do the fracking.
Right.
Now, there's another controversial issue on putting all these holes into the ground, what's going on with the groundwater? Is it getting contaminated? Is the groundwater leaking down deeper and into the holes where you're drilling? I mean, who knows? Is it affecting it that way? I don't know, but I know one thing is fracking. They use a lot of fresh water. And I know that out in the California area, all throughout that drought section, these fracking companies are just, They got a clean slate. They got a blank slate to use as much water as they want. Meanwhile, the residents are being told, you know, to have time showers, and the farmers' crops are dying. I mean, we got our priorities a little backwards, I think. Meanwhile, these fracking companies could find another source of water. I'm sure they could. Where there's a will, there's a way. Not that far from the ocean, you know. But I don't know. This potable water problem across the world could be solved quite easily reverse osmosis treatment systems or distill systems, desalinization systems, running off the ocean's water.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that there's people in countries dying of thirst.
Mm-hmm.
The whole planet's made of water. Oh, well, only a certain percentage of it is fresh water, that's potable water that you could drink. Well, yeah, but it's not rocket science to friggin' turn salt water into fresh water or to take crappy pond water and make it clean enough. Why aren't people just educated on how to do this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even somebody with no, you know, with a few scraps could figure out how to make a solar-powered distiller. And on the beach of the ocean could quite easily start making fresh water just using the sun and, you know, some garbage that was kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Instead, we get all these phony charities and organizations polluting the television screen. There's some fat, overweight lady chewing on bread saying, send your money. We're going to feed these starving Biafran children. And, you know, the money never gets there. 20, 30 years go by, they still have the same commercials. What, then you haven't fed them yet? I mean, gee, I mean, the kid from the first commercial, he's older than me by now.
Yeah.
But.
That is true.
But, yeah, I mean, if they knew how to do it, then they wouldn't need us to send them bottles of water. And, I mean, we're not even doing that. They just use these starving children as a front to scam money from people.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, when they break down like the cost of a majority, I'd say, of the charities and NGOs, it's like the more money goes to like their administration and, you know, their own promotion of the charity than to the actual cause, you know, when you look at it.
Yeah, a lot of them, it's like 80%, 90% goes to administrative purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Salaries and all this other stuff. And you start looking into what size of the salaries, and some of them are getting $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 or even more.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know, like, this is a scam. These people are using these people to scam money out. They're ambulance chasers.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it after every single natural disaster. Whenever there's a natural disaster, an earthquake, a hurricane, a tsunami, all these charities come out of the woodwork, and we're going to save them, and we're going to do this, and nobody seems to do anything other than they take money. That's about it.
Yeah, exactly, because they revealed that with the aftermath of the Hurricane Katrina when they try to follow the money.
Right.
So much money was donated. And then even the Haiti, too. Haiti was even more, I think, the Haiti earthquake.
Also, the California earthquake of the 80s, Red Cross stole 80% of that money and left Americans homeless. Americans donated enough money to replace everyone who lost their house. To replace everybody's house who lost their house. But instead, Red Cross stole 80% of the money and left a bunch of Americans homeless. That was back in the California earthquake in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And people can look that up. I encourage you to. I mean, these charities, I mean, pick one out of a hat, start digging, and you're going to find nothing but skeletons in the closet and dirt, and you're never going to want to donate to them again. You know, like if there's an earthquake or something, some natural disaster in America or Canada, the best thing to do is if you can, go and physically help. Physically hand out goods or things, or physically help clean up rubble or rebuild things. It's the only way you know your help's actually going to get there. Otherwise, you just got some snake oil salesman holding up pictures of, you know, hurricane victims while he steals your money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on. It's been going on for decades, since before I was born.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's where it's, I wonder what's going on over in the Africa stuff with all the Ebola stuff, because there's all these people that go over there that are like supposed to be like they're like missionaries or just people that are working for these charities or whatever. And
you've got a certain percentage who just volunteer and they're just trying to, you know, do the right thing. They don't realize that any of these charities are corrupt or anything. But yeah, I mean, what's,
because that's, you know, what they've been saying is that the Red Cross tents are the where the people are getting infected. Like the people
are they talking about the Red Cross? Yeah, I've heard that. But are they do they mean Red Cross? Or are they talking about the Doctors Without Borders tents?
Well, I think they might be the same. The Doctors Without Borders might be funded by Red Cross because you see the Red Cross on it. Unless it's just a common medical symbol. Like, remember when we went down to Occupy and they had the Red Cross, but it was made out of tape? Red duct tape?
Yeah.
So it's like the Red Cross is a common symbol, so, but like the actual organization, I guess, is supplying some kind of medical, like, checkups or whatever, and then you go in there and then you come out with a bull. It's like a scary proposition. Would,
has already come out of the gates with a, I don't know, there's a whole pile of celebrities that jumped on board to try to raise Ebola awareness, and it's like, come on, are you for real?
Mm-hmm.
What's next? You're going to raise lightning awareness?
And the Facebook guy donated $25 million or something.
$25 million?
Yeah. I think this is all of it's. There is a play to get some kind of vaccine, so they're probably going to try to push a global vaccine.
I did see that GlaxoSmithKline was talking about a Ebola vaccine they're working on, but they're now claiming that hey, for this pandemic, there's no way they're going to get it out in time. So that could just be more, you know, them playing it up to try to, you know, hype it, get the fear going, good, and then they'll come out. It's like, yeah, we got one. Don't worry, it's right, just in the nick of time.
Yeah, that's the logic of the Ontario Liberals too. It's just run the time is right. We'll let you know when the time is right. Vaccine available.
Yeah, I remember getting a call.
And then what they're doing with sending all these patients all around the world, you know, sort of like an Ebola tour. If they get a patient that's contracted, they'll send them to a different city in another city.
Yeah, the Ebola tour. Like, what's up with that?
They made that decision. It's because I think they want to put the vaccine worldwide. Heading in.
The Ebola Globetrotters, new basketball team.
Yes, it was.
Anyways, we're going to break. We'll be right back.
Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. We was inside waiting to go upstairs. And on our way upstairs.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA, worldwide.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault. 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine. including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine now, only at hempusa.org.
Evil contains within it the seed of its own destruction.
Truth Warrior with David Whitehead. Mondays on Truth Frequency Radio.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order. And instead, it looks like we got a lot of disorder. And we still, and after 9/11, we've been more sensitive to the.
So we have to shape an international order that can meet the challenges of our generation.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. And I think we started talking about Ebola before the break. And I've got this here. Hold on. Ebola virus adds, or Ebola virus aid adds $30 million from Canada. Of the $35 million Canada previously pledged, only about $5 million has been spent. So we're spending $35 million on Ebola.
Well,
that's over $6,600 per Ebola victim, it appears. The Canada spending on each Ebola victim, $6,600.
And that's just the government of Canada.
That's just the government of Canada spending what they're spending on each Ebola victim. So it's, I don't know.
Because they could do, yeah, because they've built it up as a worldwide effort. They've got to put a worldwide effort to stop it, so.
Seems like a good, excuse to run around and scam funding money for basically anything. For the CDC, for the World Health Organization, for Health Canada, for all kinds of research and, oh man, they're gonna hemorrhage whatever money is left.
Well, yeah, they're probably working on experimental medicines at that Mars place that we started talking about at the start. The companies that work in there survive on the government grants too. That's where. That's right. Like you could be eligible for this Ebola fund if you're doing the right kind of research, like vaccines or. It's like pretty much when I. Saw this blog post, and I sent it to you with the one with the guy with a clipboard.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's escorting the second nurse that's now been infected from the guy that they brought from Africa to Texas.
Yeah, well, I don't understand that. They got this supposed Ebola patient on a stretcher, okay? They're surrounded by other people in bio suits. And but then there's this one guy in the background, like right next to them, in full pictures. And he's just plain clothed, wearing a clipboard. Like, what's the point of the suits, guys? Like, what's
just exactly? And they've even got the patient in a suit, and then it's like it's almost the suits are just to like add an extra level of fear because people know outbreak or you know different type of movies like E.T.
It looks like
wearing those suits.
But then this guy comes out with a clipboard, like it's like the director. He's like, cut. He's coming out. He's like, cut. Okay, that was good. We'll take it from the top. One more run through.
Because then you see him later on when he gets on the plane after they put the passenger up the stairs. He just walks up the stairs casually, and then you see him there after, like it's like a night shot, and they're loading the person in the ambulance. So he probably flew the whole flight, and then you're like maybe potentially even rode in the ambulance with them to the hospital they got him at. Might be one in Atlanta, or it looks like from the on this blog post from the flight path looks like it's multiple cities that the plane went to before it even went to the that's why it is like an Ebola tour because it's like why would you fly a patient to multiple cities? And then it's like, can you just bring the specialist to the hospital that the patient's already at?
All I know is if you pay attention to the mainstream media or any of the media, you know, and on this Ebola issue, you will clearly see that you don't have a clear clue of what the hell is really going on here. You know, like nothing makes sense. Everything they're doing is contradictory to their own protocols, to their own procedures. And I mean, this is just another one of many things. You know, everyone's in hazmat gear, including the Ebola patient, except for the one guy with the clipboard just standing around, I don't know what to make of it.
See, and then I was like, well, maybe these pictures are just like a fake thing, because, you know, they can stage, like, when it looks like totally like a fake, like a staged, that to me, I'm like, this looks like a staged thing. Like, how could this be the actual nurse, like, at a thing? But it's like, then I'm like, well, it looks like it's definitely a clip that was on the news. And then I started seeing some other news clips, and you see the nurses in Africa, they've got like the, some of them are with the outbreak suits, and then other ones are just like, they're totally, they have no covering at all, not even a face mask.
Yeah, they don't even care. There's just like the other guy there that just doesn't care. I seen that in Africa too.
And so it's like, then I was like, well, maybe I believe this clipboard thing is real too. It's like people, it's like they don't know what's going on. It's like they're trying to make everyone afraid that there's this, you know, it's a contact, virus that you gotta be careful. And then it's like other people that don't look like they're being careful at all. And they're, these are the medical workers. Like these are people working with the patients. So it's like, that's what I always wonder. And then, you know, there was a thing, was it leprosy? They even talk about it in the Bible, leprosy. And that, they used to, like, they had leper colonies or whatever. They send people to, like, an island. And, it's like pretty much like they're isolated and stuff. And then.
Or island.
They show, like, I think it's in the movie Papillon. They have, like, a big scene, and there is, like, character on there that's supposed to be the doctor, who's just, like, he doesn't have it, but he's just there with the patients. So it's like, that's what I wonder, is, like, if certain people are immune to Ebola. And then it's like, oh, maybe they did release it, and then the elite already have, an immunity to it. Looks like we might have Mike on.
Yeah, I'm on, yeah. I woke up, so I'm sorry about the getting on a little bit late. But I was looking at some photos, and I could see these people walking around with no protective equipment on whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one picture look like somebody was in some type of big container, but to look like also nobody was in the container at all. It looked kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it seems staged. A lot of this stuff seems staged. That's why it is puzzling.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I sent a couple of videos, and John was trying to figure out whether or not it was authentic or not. But it's hard to prove something when you don't really know.
There's some folks out there that are that think that it's all faked and staged, right? And they raised some interesting questions, but I went through it, and I'm like, you know, I don't find any evidence here one way or the other.
Mm, yeah.
You know? But in terms of some of these types of photos, we're like, you know, why is there a guy in plain clothes standing around a clipboard? Everyone else is wearing bio suits.
Yeah.
You know, if they're really concerned about containing this, wouldn't they all be wearing bio suits?
Sure, they would.
They definitely screwed something up because two nurses have it, right? And then they were saying that at least 50 hospital staff had contact with the Ebola patient. And so they're monitoring all of them. Two of them have already shown the symptoms. And one of them passed away. So it's like this one they've got is their, this is one of their patients they got in America.
Well, there seems to be something going on with the transmission of this virus that they may not be telling us. I'm not sure.
But
how do that many healthcare workers get it? If it's only passed through liquids, how do fully protected healthcare workers that are wearing all this gear, how do they end up getting it? There has to be something other, you know, whether it's through a lot of viruses or, you know, just touching stuff, touching doorknobs, touching handles. I mean, it's the kind of thing they would have to be constantly monitoring to make sure this hasn't mutated or change in terms of it, how it transmits. But to me, I think they probably know. They're just not going to be honest with us. And this is the thing. I'm not trying to fearmonger because I don't think it's very virulent. It's not highly transmissible. But it seems to be more transmissible than what they're telling us it is. Because how do all these doctors...
Well, Canada's bringing out some vaccines that they're going to be bringing over there for trial purposes. Maybe the vaccines are what's carrying the virus. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible, right?
Yeah. Either way, the vaccine might not even do anything. They just want to put something in people's arms. Either way, it could be a big scam if they get everyone to take it. That's why I think they have this global reach. You know, it's another reason why it makes sense why they're flying these patients around. Because it doesn't, like, that part actually doesn't totally make sense. Like, why would they keep on moving them around city to city? You know, fly them in from other places. Why don't they fly the specialists to the place they're at, and then it'd be more contained? You know, it's almost like they're trying to spread it, right? And then that's the way you can get local populations into it is if you bring one close to your house, you know, a victim, and then you get them all afraid that it's going to spread, and then it turns to a thing where it's like anyone that coughs, it's like you got to be nervous if you're around someone that's coughing, and during the SARS, remember? That's why we have an interesting perspective, because 2003 they had the SARS thing here in Toronto. You remember that, eh?
Yeah, I remember that too as well. And
wearing masks.
Yes, people. I see a lot of Chinese people still wearing masks walking around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why they didn't. They don't have this one spreading there yet. But then, you know, who knows how long that'll take?
Yeah.
They pretty much listed. Remember, it used to be 4 African nations. Now they've listed. It's like 15 or something. They've upped the number now.
Talk about scaring people. I think there's a lot of fear-mongering going on with probably practically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't believe either way, you know, because the truth movement now, I believe that they've been taken over, and there's a lot of propaganda going on both sides. Just competition to see who can spew out the most propaganda.
Right. I mean, that's one thing I noticed... You know, there was the whole Sandy Hook shooting and the Boston Marathon. Both were very suspicious events, and I would say were potential and still are potential false flag events that were carried out. But if you look into them, there was some hard questions, especially the Boston bombing. Why were there what looked to be private mercenaries there? Now, they could have been some type of SEAL team or something like that. They looked to be private mercenaries like the company Kraft. They were clearly there at near the finish line on the scene of the Boston bombing. Why were they there? Never got those answers. Why were there drills of terror attacks being held at the Boston bombing? And why were they walking around? It was the Department of Homeland Security walking around with bomb-sniffing dogs near the finish line at the Boston bombing. Well, apparently because they were running drills. Those are the hard-hitting questions. Now, what ended up happening as time went on with the Boston bombing especially was you got all these they kind of crossed because they take supposed witnesses, pictures of witnesses, and then they'd Photoshop it and make it as if they were also a witness at another false flag event. Like they take a witness from the Boston bombing, and then they take a news clip from Sandy Hook and they just Photoshop them in there and say, see, it's the same person. How could it be? And it's completely fake. And I've analyzed probably, you know, close to 30 of these different pictures, and then followed it back and figured out these are fake. And I don't know who has the motive to do it. I don't know if it's, you know, somebody paid to sow disinformation to make it the water so murky, it's hard to even see what the truth is. But,
Could be. That's the Dallas Goldbug.
Or it's just somebody just trying to get attention and draw traffic to their website.
Mm-hmm.
Or getting kicks out of it. You know, oh, wait till you see what I can get these people to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of the pictures are suspicious, but on further investigation, I was able to track down that many of them were fake. Now, many of them I couldn't fall all the way and determine that they were fake, but say out of, you know, 50 pitchers, I was able to figure out 40 of them are definitely fakes. You know, somebody's engaged in a concerted effort to just completely smoke out the Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing attacks and just sow so much disinformation that anyone who wants to look into it is just going to get, you know, turned off, or they're just going to buy into the fake pitchers. And again, some of these pitchers are very well faked. You know, it takes an expert to spot it in many cases. Sometimes it's pretty easy, but, you know, not everyone's Photoshop expert. So that's one thing. When it comes to photos now, it's like, you know, I'm very skeptical on photographic evidence. I need video, and preferably video from multiple angles of from different cameras. Then it's harder for them to even doctor that.
Yeah, that's for me. I'd rather go with the video to see if these people were actually interviewed at these different scenes. I want to see the video of them being interviewed at the Boston bombings or the Sandy Hook. And if you can get these videos separate, and you know that they're not fake, then we got something to go on. But other than that, it's just all hearsay.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm not saying we know that the Department of Homeland Security contracts out crisis actors. You know, I'm not saying that that's not even a possibility. I'm not saying that. It could be a possibility. But somebody's out there trying to purposely put out disinformation. And I think it's to dissuade people. It's to discredit people asking the hard questions. Asking the questions, why were they running drills on the day of the Boston bombing? Why were there bomb-sniffing dogs there? If you knew something was up, why didn't you tell the people to leave the finish line? You know?
Yeah.
Why was there a private mercenary force on the ground there before the bomb went off? What were they doing there? None of these questions we were able to get answered. And then those questions fell to the wayside, and it was all about this supposed parent of this kid is also the parent of this kid at this event. And I, you know, next thing you know, I'm looking in all these photos, wasting my time, and turns out the photos are fake. So somebody's trying to waste time and you know, stop people from looking into the hard questions of it.
Yeah, one of the photos I saw of Obama meeting the kids and the parents of the victims on Sandy Hook, and one little girl I recognized was supposedly have been killed at Sandy Hook, was actually meeting Obama afterwards. A little girl.
An explanation for that. See, they have another little girl, and the picture of the little girl that died was a couple years old, and then her sister, who was a couple years younger, was there and met Obama. And her sister was wearing her older sister's old dress, the exact same dress. That's the official, that I know the exact picture you're talking about, and it got me thinking, and I had to do further investigation before I could say, hey, this is the crisis actors, we got them. And that's what I researched and found out, was that they had another girl, blonde hair, and a couple years later, she got the hand-me-downs, and that's what she was wearing when she met Obama. So, you know, I want to catch them, don't get me wrong, but when people are out there, somebody's, again, is in a concerted effort. See, that one's not a concerted effort. That was somebody who noticed something and pointed it out. You know what I mean? That wasn't photoshopped. But there's other ones that are definitely photoshopped. That one's not photoshopped, but there's a reasonable explanation for it.
And yeah, the Sandy Hook, I always questioned if it was a... I was basically, I had assumed it was actually real, because why would they do something like so terrible? Because you know, it's like you're dealing with people's real emotions, you know, and like little kids and stuff. And then when I saw the guy who's supposed to be the coroner, and you see his press conference, and he's joking around in the press conference, and then I was like, well, this was enough for me to question this whole thing. I don't need to see all the stuff about the crisis actors to wonder what is actually going on here.
Yeah, but you see the coroner. A real coroner sees dead people every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's used to it.
Yeah, he's used to it, but then...
So he would joke around. People who deal with death every day, a coroner, somebody who does funeral services, not even a coroner, just a guy that does funeral services, maybe sings, plays piano. It wouldn't faze him. Yeah, you'd catch him popping a joke off at a funeral because he's just too numb and normalized to that death. So I don't necessarily. I mean, some of it I could see why people would think it's suspicious, but at the same time, people react weird to death. But the coroner guy, I wouldn't say necessarily. I think it's kind of normal because I would think he'd be normalized to people die and everything.
He does say that this is the worst crime scene he's seen ever. Just because it's so many kids, right? And then this is where I was pretty convinced that there is something going on is when Wolfgang Halbig released his list of all the stuff. And he's like actually a school, safety inspector guy. And, he questioned everything that was going on in this and he mentioned that none of the parents, requested to see the body of their kid at the thing, like they set up at their temporary coroner thing. And because they moved them all to these tents, they set up some kind of outdoor thing. And then, and that part seems sketchy too. But then the one guy that they say is an actor, you know, this one, the father that they say is the actor.
Yeah.
That character. That one I'm not sure about, but he does, he like you're saying, people react to death differently. Like he definitely reacted differently, right? He's not a,
yeah, there's no, you know, there's no, like, you know, way that everybody reacts to death. Some will react in weird ways. But again, I suspect that Sandy Hook could have been a potential false flag event. I mean, one shady thing is they bulldozed the entire school. They bulldozed the crime scene. There is no more Sandy Hook Elementary School. We couldn't get an investigation. We haven't seen any real, you know, shots from inside of this supposed crime scene. And it's gone. It's been bulldozed. It's been removed. So
that, you know what the connection, coincidence there too was with, 9/11, which like people are pretty convinced is a false flag. And, those World Trade Center buildings were going to cost a lot to, clean up the asbestos and the old, stuff that was in them. And that was apparently the same thing with this old Sandy Hook school. It was like, it's actually a toxic school that they destroyed that, they would have had to pay a lot to convert, right? And that's one of the reasons they say they took it down. It's because it was so, it's like pretty much just bury your problems if you've got a whole bunch of asbestos. And then it's like, you know, you just take it down, lead paint, asbestos, you know, just leave a hole in the ground, I guess, yeah.
Well, I mean, if the thing is whether there's asbestos there or not. You don't get rid of it until you're done investigating the crime scene. And they didn't. Like, that was the first thing, get rid of the crime scene. The same with on 9/11. So right there, that's fishy enough for me to say, hey, we need further investigation. Again, like these Dallas Goldbug types or whoever these people are that are in concerted efforts of photoshopping to sow disinformation to try to tell us the truth of the false flag of Sandy Hook. I mean, I don't know whether they're just getting their kicks or they're, you know, paid agents who are there to just sow disinformation and sow so much of it that it's hard for people to get to the truth. But I am definitely suspicious of the Sandy Hook shooting, not necessarily because of supposed crisis actors or anything like that, mainly because how the media reacted to it. And then, but number two would be that the main thing is that they bulldozed the school right away. They bulldozed the crime scene so that nobody could check it out.
So then I wouldn't worry about any real investigation, even in 9/11. You're not going to get one, so it's not even worth bringing up the subject, really.
Well, I mean, 9/11, you can investigate. There's a lot of evidence to investigate.
Oh, yeah.
Sandy Hook, there really isn't.
There's no videotape
out there of this guy allegedly running in there and shooting everybody up. It's not like 9/11 where we've got footage of the planes hitting. We've got footage of the buildings coming down. We've got footage. We've got all this evidence. So people can do their own investigation. If they're waiting for the government to come and do a new investigation, yeah, I mean, that's not going to happen until at least the people take back their government.
That's true.
The criminals that run the government now would never investigate 9/11. But people can investigate it themselves and come to their own conclusions. There's enough evidence out there to show that what the official story is a lie.
Yeah, but I told people on Facebook, look, don't worry about it anymore. Just move on. Move on to something else more relevant, and that's it. Just move on to something else.
Yeah, but I mean, everything, that's the cornerstone of everything. I mean, move on to something else. If they don't know that 9/11 was some type of false flag attack, then the TSA is justified in their mind. The tyrannical sexual assailants sticking their hands down their pants at the airport and on the train and down their children's pants, an act of pedophilia, is totally rationalized in their mind because they're being kept safe from the terrorists. So it is important every year, I think, to continue to expose the attacks of September 11th. Well, a fellow broadcaster here that we used to do a show on the previous network, he recently woke up to 9/11. Yeah, I think it was around 2012 or 2011, and he did a tour in Afghanistan and fought in a war over there to get these buggers that attacked us on 9/11, came back, and then woke up.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that, oh, well, no one else is going to wake up to the what happened at 9/11, well, that's complete, nonsense. Every year, more and more people are aware of it. But I've heard that from a lot of people. They get in this movement for a couple of years, and then they kind of, they go gung-ho, and they burn themselves out, and then they're like, well, no one else is going to wake up, so that's it. And, I remember one guy, I don't know, it was probably 6 years ago, and every year I see more and more people waking up to whether it's September 11th or any of the topics we talk about. More and more people are looking into these things.
Yeah, those are the same topics we had out on the table with the flyers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and again, Mike, 9/11's the all-day, everyday excuse for all the tyranny that they've imposed since 9/11. So it is the cornerstone that I think needs to be, because if they don't know that part, that, hey, what they told us on 9/11 isn't the truth, well, if they ask, what's the truth? Well, hey, you got to do your own investigation. It's not for me to tell you what the truth is. All I know is what they're saying is a lie. But people need to know that. Otherwise, they justify the TSA sticking their hands down their pants. They justify being treated like a prisoner at the NFL game,
An Operation Enduring Freedom.
Yeah. Anyways, coming up the break, guys. I'll be right back after the message.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, Deej.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him. Right here on Freedom Link, Monday through Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
Real people. Real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. And that was George Bush Sr. bringing us back in, declaring a new world order under the United Nations. That speech was from September the 11th, 1991. Look it up.
Probably right from the headquarters of Lucius Trust.
Yeah, yeah, he was addressing the UN. And speaking of UN and Agenda 21... I got to get back to these flying trains that are coming to Toronto. Do you hear about this, Daniel? Olivia Chow Se-Tung and DMX, the rapper, and Thomas the Train have teamed up to bring us.
Let's get it on.
Think of a train that can fly through all of these buildings without destroying it. You can create some trains that can fly.
I start to support my peace. I start to support my peace.
With trains that can fly.
Let's get it on.
You don't give a what, we don't give a what.
Think of a train that can fly through all of these buildings without destroying it. You can create some trains that can fly.
Okay, that's enough of that nonsense. Flying trains and DMX and, I mean, is it too late to get the old mayor, the alcoholic crackhead guy back in? I mean, he seemed a little more sane. I mean, even as wasted as he could be, I still don't think he would believe in flying trains.
That can actually fly through buildings. I like that idea. The Jetsons are here.
I want a spider train that can leap buildings in a single bound, or is that Superman train? I don't know.
There is actually some worse candidates for mayor, and then that's the actual surprising thing I found this week. There's a drunken clown, actually, that's running for mayor, and he's called Sketchy the Clown.
Sketchy the Clown for mayor.
And he's wearing full clown makeup, and he showed up at Young and Dundas this week when there was a rally, a Stop Bullying Christians rally that David Lynn had, because he's been charged, one of the street preachers at Young and Dundas. And then this clown shows up with a Sun News microphone, or with a Sun microphone, because they are doing a profile on him in the Sun newspaper. And this actual Sun TV show, which is not the TV network, which is not connected with the newspaper anymore, because the newspaper just got sold off, had done a whole profile about David Lynn. One of their hosts actually came down and interviewed him at Young and Dundas, and David Lynn had just finished thanking the Sun News Network, and then this drunken clown shows up with a microphone, and I recognized him because he's one of the fringe candidates for mayor, right? All these fringe candidates. And then, so I'm like, well, definitely this guy would be worse. He's like worse than the flying trains just because he's, he's trying to, he's just there to piss off, the Christians and then at a stop bullying Christians rally. And then, there's another, candidate that's a duck. It's actually, he's actually a puppet. Like, I guess it's a puppeteer. His, the puppeteer's name is going to be on the ballot, but he speaks through a duck puppet and, they let him on the Rogers candidates. They did a taping with all the mayor candidates that wanted to do one, and like the actual guy never appeared in it. You only see the duck puppet. He's looking for canals in Toronto. This is his policy.
A duck puppet.
Yeah, he wants a duck amusement park, canals, and on Spadina to have no cadavers in the windows or something. You know those, you know, there's the ducks and chickens and stuff.
Oh, right, the duck, dead ducks in the windows, right?
So it's like a joke campaign. So it's like there's definitely a whole bunch of joke campaigns, and then that's what that Olivia Chow campaign ad that you just played reminded me of, because it's like she's running a joke campaign too.
Maybe she's the clown.
She looks like it on one of her signs. She's actually totally in purple. They've got her name written in purple and then a picture of her totally in purple with purple ink. It's like, it's like a monster, like purple sort of a monster color, you know, it's like, like stands out. And then there's another, her smaller sign that doesn't have her picture says, Olivia Mayor Chow. So it sort of seems like it's in the wrong order. It's Olivia Mayor Chow.
Yeah.
But what they've done, though, is that they've pretty much written her out for some reason in the mainstream, which I was surprised about because she's one of the most globalist of all the candidates. Her platform is actually called Global Toronto, to make an agency called Global Toronto. And pretty much every poll they've had, she's been in the last place. So it's, they played it up in the media is that a vote for Olivia Chow, you're throwing it away. You know, it's like, for all the people that believe in the polls or the mainstream candidates, that, it's like only Doug Ford or John Tory, have a shot. And that, John Tory has got a lot of, corruption too. You know, like that's one thing we haven't totally talked about, but. He's been leading almost every, poll. And actually, Doug Ford has got, corruption with Deco Labels that was actually just exposed in Globe and Mail last week. They did a whole, expose on Doug Ford's full-time job as the president of Deco Labels.
Well, I mean, the issue, I guess, with Rob or Doug and, John Tory and Olivia Chow is John Tory and Olivia Chow are just openly, nakedly globalist agents.
Yeah.
Ford and Ford seem to be, you know, I don't even know if they know what a globalist is. I don't know.
No, they seem like, they do seem like American brothers though, cause that's always their big, their biggest, when they say their biggest achievements that they've done for Toronto has been, their business trips to Chicago and to Austin, Texas.
Right.
And then that's one thing Doug Ford, the way he explains why he's a businessman is because he successfully built Deco Labels up in Chicago from nothing. So it's like basically he just like expanded the business to, you know, to beyond the borders, basically. So in that sense, that is a globalism thing, is that Deco Labels now has a huge side of it that's like their main plant is in Etobicoke, but it's most of their business is in the U.S., seems like.
Right.
So the one thing that they talked about in this Globe and Mail article is that Doug Ford's got a lawsuit right now because he bought a label plant in New Jersey, and that apparently that the label plant has been in trouble financially. So that's why they were able to get it cheap. But then I guess now he owes the guy that owned it. So the guy's taking him to court, and that's one thing I think about is that. Like, cause Doug Ford would have a good chance of winning, but he doesn't totally seem like he's in the campaign, you know, 100%. And then I guess they'd always say it's cause his brother's sick, so he's got to look after him. He can't be campaigning all the time, but he's missed a lot of the debates and he doesn't, to me, it doesn't seem like he wants to be mayor. And then it almost seems like they've selected John Tory and a smart track plan, and that he's just been playing it. You know, it's just like an easy. He's just going to walk into the office, you know, and and then basically what he's going to do, or my prediction is that he's going to figure out a way to explain to people that his smart that he's not going to do the smart track plan. Because what he's talking about is electrifying the train tracks that already exist, but he doesn't have any way of funding it. And as we were saying at the beginning of the show, Ontario is a broke province. So
yeah,
how could the Ontario government do it?
So maybe flying trains will be adequate, because you don't have to shut down any of the roads. You don't have to, you can be free. You're going to have it people free, and you don't have to worry about closing it down to construction.
The only thing you need to worry about is having enough napkins.
Yes, you don't want to run out of napkins.
Exactly. I like the colored napkins. They're more better to look at.
I like the Christmas napkins.
Yeah, something like that. I like that idea.
Because if you threw a napkin against a building, it wouldn't break. So I think that's what she's saying, is that if you had a train made of napkins, it could, you know, go through a building. But then, yeah, it couldn't actually go through a building, though, because a napkin can't get through. But it also wouldn't break. So I guess it has to go over the building.
You know,
that's
what she's buildings saying. With big holes in them way up in the center up high for the trains to fly through.
Yeah, and then the smart tracks and electric train, and then Doug Ford has the biggest train proposal, but it's all like tunneling. It's tunneling through areas that are like there's not many people there, not many business. You know, it's like the areas up north where everything's spread out.
Right.
So it's like those are going to be some huge subway projects, like if they actually were able to do them. So I think, yeah, if Doug Ford does get in, which he might just because Rob Ford got so famous and, like, the Ford Nation is a real thing, that he'd have to figure out a way to apologize or a way to explain that he can't actually do his subway plan either.
Yeah, but if Rob Ford recuperates, do you think he'll take a shot at provincial or federal elections?
No, Rob Ford's on the ballot for a councillor, and he'll win councillor for sure.
Oh, okay.
But there is a guy up in his ward, like Etobicoke North, that's a black guy in a suit who seems like he's pretty with it. You know, he's like, he's definitely a guy that makes more sense when you hear him talk, but I don't know if he could win against Rob Ford. But, you know, it's like Rob Ford's area, though, Etobicoke North. It's one of the, you know, it's got Rexdale, which is sort of like a housing projects area, and it's got, Woodbine Racetrack.
Right.
Oh, that. Because that's where they're trying to get a casino in. Yep. That was one thing they didn't get through. And the other one was, Doug Ford had a plan a few years ago to get a monorail along the lake.
A monorail?
And that,
flying one.
That is almost like a flying train too, yeah. that was his waterfront redevelopment. It would be a Ferris wheel and a monorail at the down at the lake. So you know, they probably put it where they're building the Athletes Village for the Pan Am Games too, that Ferris wheel, if they had done it, but the council voted it down.
They should attach a Ferris wheel to the top of the CN Tower.
With an edge walk. You know what else happened this week was they celebrated the one-year anniversary of, at the base of the CN Tower, the Ripley's Aquarium. I guess it opened 1 year ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Been there, yes.
Oh, you went?
Huh. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
But do you feel sorry for the fish? Because that's what, you know, like Free Willy, when you feel sorry for the fish, they're trapped in that.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. But they have free will to, you know, swim around all over the place. You get sharks that are flying over, or flying, maybe, swimming over top of you. And, you know, they have flying fish in there too, you know.
But it, sharks no, actually, fly, yeah.
Yeah, actually it's very beautiful. Actually very beautiful.
So the tanks are big then? It doesn't look like they're trapped in.
Oh, yeah. No, it's huge. It's a huge area. And you can get to, pet some of the sharks and stuff like that.
See, because I question it because it's called the Ripley's Aquarium, and I know Ripley's was originally like the freak shows.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just like the CNE used to have freak shows at one time. Wow. I remember that back in the 60s.
Actually going to them?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Huh. Because what I know of the freak shows is just like, I guess it's like a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum or something, and they show like the old pictures of it. I guess they stopped doing them.
Yeah, oh yeah, they stopped doing them because people started speaking up about it. And yeah, I used to go in and you'd see animals that had got an extra leg or something like that, or an extra head or whatever, and they were showing this off, you know. So to me, that was cruelty to animals. But when you're a young guy, you don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's like a woman with a beard or...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. You know, it's like... It is, yeah, it is a way of, see, it asks you a question, believe it or not, right? What is Ripley's Believe It or Not, like, is it real? So it is sort of a truth-seeking thing. And because a lot of them are hoaxes, right? They had a lot of hoaxes in the past, you know, like a
right, yeah.
Dragon's head or something, and it's like yeah. Just an alligator or something.
Well, you got the one down in Niagara Falls, Canada.
Right, that's what I've been to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's the tallest man in the world, 8 foot something.
Mm-hmm.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the picture, or they have his chair down there. You can see how big of a chair they have, his custom-built chair.
Yes, oh yeah, yeah. Well, you've still got a lot of big, tall guys today, you know, basketball players that are 7 feet. Yao Ming,
mm-hmm.
He's very tall, he's 7'6".
Mm-hmm.
But he had to get out of the game because of... injuries and stuff like that, especially with you when you're that tall, you got problem with your legs and your back and everything else too, right? So when mm-hmm. you play basketball, your years are quite short.
Yeah, that's what's that Dr. Wallach, you know, from Youngevity products, he talks about that, how no professional athlete has ever lived over 90 or so. Yeah, has ever lived to 100, and the only ones like that he could find were some Negro baseball league guys that lived to the into their 90s. But like in modern times, there's been none, which I find a bit surprising too. When you look at some of the oldest people in the world, they're not athletes basically.
Yeah. Cause like you got, one of the WWE guys, his name was Rosie or whatever. One of the big black guys. He's like 500 pounds, you know, and he died at an early age. He died at like 42.
Mm-hmm. And Andre the Giant,
Andre the Giant, yes. But he had a problem anyway.
Right. Well, it's the giantism, yeah, it's like it is a condition. And he wasn't that old either, yeah, Andre the Giant. But it's like, you know, it's just, the other thing they have is for people that are really short, I guess, too, in those freak shows. And, that's why the whole point of like, or the thing of the freak show, the saddest part is that it's objectifying, you know, a person. And then, they make it seem scary too when it's like a traveling show and that they gotta live there and that it's like, you know, just people looking at them all day, making fun. And that's why I'm sort of glad it's not a continuing trend, but I guess the whole reality TV is sort of turning into freak shows.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it's turning into a circus.
The future freak shows are going to feature people like, hey, look at this! Is the last man in the planet that believes the official story of 9/11. And they're going to look, mommy, look at the idiot. Oh my God, daddy, is that one of them retards you told me about? I don't know.
Maybe that's the way it's going to look like after it's all said and done. Who knows?
And that is what the election has turned into. It's like basically there's a clown running around. There's a duck running around. It's like
flying trains.
Flying trains. Yeah, the whole Toronto election is a circus. And you know what they said was this week they had the early voting because voting's not till October 27th, but it's been a record number for early voting. It's like people love it. People love a good circus, I guess.
Yeah.
Where's Mel Lastman when you need him?
Yeah, that guy, I don't think he's in jail, but then I remember they caught his wife was shoplifting. And that was the whole thing was that, Mel Lastman, like, you would dress up as a jailbird and he's like, yeah. Nobody, yeah.
Who's better than Last Man? Nobody.
Oh yeah, it's Bad Boy. Yeah, exactly. Bad Boy. They changed their furniture store to Bad Boy.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So it's like you got gangsters running the city, and then that's what it seems like is going on in Brampton, Mississauga. It's like a lot going on. Cause you know, I saw in the Mississauga elections this week, they were talking about dynasties. I guess the Mahoney family is a political family. Mm-hmm. And now the Crombie family too is a political family. So they're, and those are the two leading candidates for Mississauga mayor.
Yes. Yeah. Mayor Hazel McCallion, she's endorsing, Crombie.
Right.
That says that she's got a good platform and, vote for her.
And then that Mahoney guy, was saying that, like, his parents were, were in the government or government representatives, and that now his son is running for one of the councils or awards or whatever.
Yeah, yes.
So it's like that, you know, it's just a political dynasty. So then when they brought it up, and cause I watched it on the clip of the debate on Mississauga Watch, they show, Crombie's response is that her kids are really politically active, but she's told them not to run in Mississauga. They can run anywhere else, but it'll seem as a conflict of interest. But then in the, you read the article on it, it's like the Crombies are a political dynasty in the making. Like, that's the hit. Well, what she's really saying there is that her her family will run multiple areas of Ontario, I guess. But so, I guess that is one thing with politics, is that it becomes career politicians, and then it's almost like you inherit it. If your parents are a politician, then you could just run. You know how the business works, I guess.
Yes, yes. For me, I'd rather have somebody who's it's on the fringe, that knows what's going on but doesn't have all that baggage. So you're not persuaded by one thing or the other. So you have a clear mind and a clear view of what you want for a city, instead of being a career politician where you're just throwing out all this flying trains and all this kind of stuff all different ways, and you're not really showing anything. You know, you're just out there. But I want somebody who's actually got a clear vision and not have all this baggage, and who's not a career politician per se. That is more independent, and I want that type of person.
Yeah, I did see one guy like that in Toronto for running for council in the Beaches area, James Sears, and he's actually his platform is anti-Marxist, and he's spending his platform explaining how the current leading contenders for the war are Marxist and the city councilor, and then. He's also against fluoride and a whole bunch of stuff. He said he's going to donate his whole salary if he gets elected. He just do it as a public service.
Maybe that's what you need. Somebody like that knows the issues. And when you do go up to them, like with all the other candidates, you try to get in an answer, but, you're not getting anywhere with them. They just know you're there, but they shrug you off. You don't need people like that.
Mm-hmm.
As mayor, because you're not going to get anywhere with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Doug Ford says he donates his whole salary, too, to charity. And he's done that, as a city councilor the past 4 years. But he's also got, his other full-time job is the president of that label company. So he doesn't,
For me, I want a mayor that, like I said, doesn't have that extra baggage. I want people that are going to concentrate on taking care of the city.
Yeah, it should be a full-time job, at least. Yeah, because you're That's only right. in there for a term. And then, you don't need to think of it as a career thing.
That's right, yeah.
Unless you're, because that's the thing. If the people want you, they'll keep voting you in, because that's what they did for Hazel McCallion.
That's right, yes, yeah. She just sat back and just relaxed, and that's what it. She didn't have to do anything, really.
And she really shows the longevity, because she's still going in her early 90s.
93.
Yeah. Yeah, she's still going. And that makes sense why it's like time to retire.
Yeah, maybe she's thinking, maybe she doesn't have, the longevity to continue. So she wants to hand it off to somebody else that maybe that Crombie lady's, maybe she's a better candidate for mayor, because if no matter what you think of Hazel, you know, what if she endorses somebody, she usually knows the right people to endorse, you know, mm-hmm. because she, like Mrs. Aga's pretty much debt-free, which is a good thing under Hazel's watch. And she even said to people, I only spend the city's money the way I spend my money, mm-hmm. only the things that you need. And that's it. And that's the kind of mayor you want. Yeah. Not any mayor that's just going to go out and just throw people's money around for nothing. You know, you need people like that. And I think Toronto would need somebody like Hazel McCallion to go in there and turn things around. That's what you need.
I'd be interested to just find out, like, if you could bend Hazel McCallion's ear and find out, like, what is her thought of Olivia Chow and the plans of a flying train through the buildings? I would just love to hear what Hazel would actually thought. I doubt we'd get it from her, but she's probably too nice to say what she really thought about the flying train.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
it's absurd.
Maybe since I live here, maybe I should go out and walk around, see if I could find her.
Yeah, you might. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. Sometimes she'll be out to these big events, you know, during the summer, and you could find her there. You know, I've come across her and said hi to her. And, I used to have my 9/11 buttons on there, and she's short, and she'd be looking up at me, looking at my buttons. But she never commented on anything. She just looked at me with my buttons on and everything else, you know, trying to figure out what I'm doing, this type of thing. So if you could find her there, doing something, then you can go up to her gradually and talk to her and ask her questions. I think we should up our game here, you know. Since I live out here, I can take care of things out here, get the time to go to the whatever is going on at our city hall out here and get in a word with her.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Say, I'm with Angry Beaver Radio. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Whether she'll know what it is or not, and just hand her my card. Hand her the card. Mm. So she can tune in. I think she's pretty good with a computer.
Well, I would just love to know what her thoughts are of the flat train.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we might get one to come through Mississauga.
Yeah, I mean, hey, why we should just send a UN Agenda 21 sustainable flying train and run it, you know, all around the world. New York, California, Texas. A new world.
Pick up they are doing the LRTs, right, in Mississauga, the Metrolink system?
Yes. Yep, they are. After the break, we can figure that one out.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, this company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you. To our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, all perfect for off-grid living, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube.
Advertising, I mean user experience, has always been our number one priority on YouTube. Recently, we've noticed that there is an abundance of clear white blank space in the margins of each page of YouTube. So we asked ourselves, why don't we fill these with bright, flashy ads? Now, every page will have full-size ads on the edges, and they may or may not be relevant to the videos you're watching. These ads might be unsavory enough to make you want to hide your screen from your parents, but that's what makes YouTube Plus all the more interactive.
'Cause what are you gonna do? Switch to Vimeo?
YouTube Plus, what are you gonna do about it?
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Down the rabbit hole with Popeye. Tuesday through Friday.
Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea. A new world order.
All right.
The blue.
Welcome back to the Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com, and you can tune in here every Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are on at noon Mountain Time. So, guys, I got this here. I don't know if you heard about this story. Apparently, Obama's credit card was declined. Barack Obama on Friday said his card was declined at a New York restaurant he went to while visiting the United Nations. I was there during the General Assembly and the credit card was rejected, Obama said at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, where he unveiled new measures to stem credit card fraud and identity theft. So, I mean, I don't even believe this. I just think it's a PR stunt that he pulled. It turned out, I guess, I don't use it enough. So they thought there was some fraud going on, he said to laughter, adding, fortunately, Michelle has hers. The president signed an executive order which adds chip and PIN protection for U.S. government cards and payment terminals at a time when the financial industry is moving in the same direction.
That's embarrassing if that happens. That's what he means. You know, he's probably at a table. He's got probably like Ban Ki-moon and, you know, some of the green people and, you know, UN people and Lucius Trust people, and then, you know, the waitress comes over, says, you know, unfortunately, sir, your card has been declined. It's like, oh, you're in an embarrassing situation. Because it makes it seem like you're broke, you know, like, oh, you're...
Yeah, but I don't believe that happened at all. I mean, it's just a PR stunt to make him seem like he has regular everyday problems, like the regular everyday person.
Yeah, but you haven't seen the bill probably at the UN restaurant. Who knows how much that costs?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's the president. He probably doesn't have to pay for anything.
Yeah, you'd think they'd give him a complimentary meal, exactly.
I'm calling this whole thing fake.
Well, did he actually say that I'm going to take care of the bill for the table, or was it that were they all going Dutch?
I don't know the situation.
Well, Ban Ki-moon's got, he's got everyone on, or billions, a few billion people on $2 a day, or what, was it less than $2 a day?
But I mean, this is, the whole point here is the president signed an executive order which adds chip and PIN protection to the U.S. government cards and payment terminals.
Yeah, I guess that's new for them, right? Because we've had it for a while, right?
This is all just a PR propaganda stunt to normalize people to the new chip and PIN technology, which is completely unsecure. It is like 100 times less secure than just the magnetic stripe.
It's got to be a huge business, though, right? Because they've done it to all in Canada. All the cards are got those chip and pins, and they're so they probably got it everywhere, Europe and Asia.
Yeah, now you have card skimmers
that are running around, electronic pickpockets. Look up card skimming, electronic pickpockets, and watch some investigative reports on these on this technology.
That's big business now, right?
Well, yeah, but yeah. See, they can't card skim you. They can't. They can't hack your phone or whatever and steal all your bank information. If you got an old magnetic stripe card, the technology's too old for them to hack into. They have to hack into the bank's mainframe to access the, that person's card information. They can't just read the card and access it. But the new technology, that it's completely unsecure. Like when I say it's 100 times less secure, I'm being very modest. It's probably 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times less secure than the magnetic stripe. So, you know, this whole thing, the security issue, there's all this propaganda they're rolling out with all the retailers to push the chip and pin technology is just complete lies. It's not more secure. It's far less secure. It's like 1,000 times less secure than the old cards.
Now you just take your card and just tap it. You don't have to stick your pin in. You just put it over the face of the reader.
That's even less secure than the ones that you had to stick in the in there.
Yeah, because it could. Yeah, you just accidentally tap it and then you're charging.
Card from across the road. Yeah. They can. You can download an app from some private app. The app leaves Trojans on your phone. So that now the person who left the Trojan on your phone that owns this app can now see everything that you see on your phone. It can access the NFC chip reader on your phone and use your phone to read your card and wire the information back to them. So even the magnetic shielded cases are of no use.
Because you got to eventually take your card out to use it.
Exactly. The minute you take the card out, your phone in your pocket can now connect, send the info back to the jackass with the free app that you got. And it's the same with computers. Okay? Online banking is completely unsecure. Any website you go to could leave Trojans and backdoors, and now they can see everything you type, every website you go to, and they can just sit there and key log and screen capture everything on your computer. So the minute you go to do online banking, bam, they got all your info, they got your password, they got everything.
So you're going to be stuck on.
And until the government's willing to come out and expose the real insecurities in the system, I mean, it's all lies. It's more the magnetic stripe. You can't hack it with a phone. You can't hack it with some type of card reader. The old magnetic stripe cards, you can't do that. The only way they've ever been hacked is, like, say, Target. They hacked Target's mainframe. Their internal computer system that housed it all. They didn't hack the card. You can't hack it with what? You know what I mean? It's like saying you're going to hack a cassette deck tape.
It's all going digital, and the problem with the digital is that you lose the paper trail. Because that's what they've now with the Canadian government. That's the only way they want to send the government checks now is through direct deposit.
They're forcing you. By doing that, now they're forcing Canadians, not only are they forcing them to do the tax in the first place, but now they're forcing them to do business with a bank.
Yeah.
They have no choice. They'll have to get a bank account, open up an account just to do the direct deposit just for the tax purposes. And that, like, we're being forced into doing business with a bank. And most of these banks are openly engaged in drug trafficking, money laundering, child trafficking, pedophilia rings. I mean, the level of corruption is not just doesn't just stop at printing billions of dollars out of thin air and loaning it to us at interest, causing massive inflation. That's the least of the crimes they're engaged in. They're constantly getting caught laundering drug money and running child sex rings and all this other crap. So why am I being forced that I have to do business with a bunch of pedophile banksters? The idiots at TD or the idiots at Royal Bank or the idiots at CIBC, they're all a bunch of pedophile creeps, openly, nakedly engaged in drug laundering and pedophile rings. I mean, I don't know. And all that ever happens to them is once in a while they'll get caught and they'll get a fine. Caught laundering billions in drug money. Oh, we'll give Wells Fargo a dinky little fine. Nobody goes to jail.
Yeah. That's why it's we're in strange times. It's like sad times, but you got to keep on hoping, because there's, you got to hope that there's some people that are within, like, you know, looking out for this stuff. Well, that's what, you know, Ed Snowden, he reappeared on some video telecast, and he's now describing his old job with the NSA as hacking the hackers. So that's what I was thinking. It's like, maybe, oh, maybe this guy's hired, and he's like a good guy, and he's supposed to be shutting these guys down that are all doing all this electronic fraud stuff. And then you realize the reason that he quit is because he realized that the NSA and all these government employees, government electronic security, are actually using it to spy on targets, you know, spying on Americans and, you know, domestic targets. They're not, you know, like, it's like, who are they actually going after? And how is this actually making anyone safer?
Well, I've got this clip here. It's President Obola. New tech, fight fraud.
Today, we are launching an initiative called Buy Secure, because you should be able to buy the things that you need without risking your identity, your credit score, or your savings. Now, first, starting next year, we're going to begin making sure that credit cards and credit card readers issued by the United States government come equipped with two new layers of protection. A microchip in the card that's harder for thieves to clone than a magnetic strip, and a PIN number that you enter into the reader just as you do with an ATM. We know this technology works. When Britain switched to a chip and PIN system, they cut fraud in stores by 70%.
I mean, this is just complete lies. You can just hear him. He's saying that the chip and PIN is safer than the old magnetic stripe, which is complete lies. Like, it's, you cannot hack a magnetic stripe card and get the info off of it with your iPhone or your Android or a computer or any technical devices known to man to this date. I mean, yeah, you could read it, but then you have to, now you're stuck guessing the PIN code. Good luck on that. Just randomly guessing a PIN code. The odds of that are pretty slim to none. But with the wireless RFID chip and PIN system, the thief can steal your bank contents from the other side of the bloody world. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyways, let's get on. There's a few more seconds of him lying, I'm sure.
So today I'm also directing federal law enforcement to share more information with the private sector when they discover identity theft rings. Today, a group of retailers that includes some of our largest, Home Depot, Target, Walgreens, Walmart, and representing more than 15,000 stores across the country. All of them are pledging to adopt chip and PIN technology by the beginning of next year. And even though I'm taking action today without Congress, Congress needs to do its part as well. Today, data breaches are handled by dozens of separate state laws. It's time to have one clear national standard that brings certainty to businesses and keeps consumers safe.
Well, you need a big shovel. You need a bulldozer to listen to that horse crap.
Yeah, that is so true.
Complete, utter lies. And the public just is so uninformed that they would listen to that and go, well, what? Yeah, it's going to be safer with the new technology.
Well, maybe that's what happened when he sat down at that table and he was going to pay for his meal. Somebody hacked into his card and took all his money.
Yeah, they did a long distance tap from the table next to it.
Exactly.
The public doesn't know the history of electronic banking. And it, before online banking, you had bank machines. You could do wire transfers, but you couldn't wire it over the internet. There was no banking on the internet. It was called intranet, not internet, intranet security. And it was an internal system that was not hooked up to the internet. It was like the bank's own internal system, for security purposes, so they couldn't get hacked and have stuff stolen from them. That was with the magnetic stripe technology. Now we've gone onto the internet. You know, any hacker or any website you visit can put a Trojan on your thing and then start screen capturing everything you're doing until you enter banking information or credit card information somewhere online. And now they have it and they can spend until you're at your limit. And again, with the RFID, the electronic pickpockets,
Just do a YouTube search, electronic pickpockets, and you'll see how much harder it is to do it for an actual pickpocket to steal your money than it is for an electronic pickpocket to steal your money. The idea that this is any way safer, especially Target with their hacking scandal, magnetic stripes, they didn't hack the cards. They hacked Target's main basic computer server to get all the information off the cards. That's where they need to shore up security by putting the RFID chips, the chip and pin technology on the card. Now all the cards are individually hackable very easily from across the road or from the other side of the world. Thanks, Obama. Thank you, President Obama.
Going back to the older ways of pickpocketing, remember the guy that used to come by you and bump into you and then steal the money out of your pocket? What happened to those good old days?
Yeah, exactly. Tap you on the shoulder. That's where the tap comes from.
Exactly, yeah. That's the old style, the old ways.
Don't worry, because once enough people have been hacked and scammed, they will bring out this technology, which is already sitting on the in the back burners, called Zwipe. Zwipe MasterCard announced credit card with built-in fingerprint sensor. Apple using NFC and fingerprint to authenticate transactions wirelessly with Apple Pay, but it looks like as though MasterCard is helping to push with an alternative solution, a credit card with a built-in fingerprint sensor. So hold on, I think they've got a video here.
Fingerprint identification is about to be everywhere. You've seen it in the movies, on smartphones and tablets. And now, also on your payment card. Let me show you. Let's say I'd like some water. Quick, isn't it? And it's highly secure. And let me show you why. This is my payment card. And this is my PIN code. I place it here, and I swipe. That's it. And if there's only a chip terminal, that's no problem either. And there's no transaction limits. Forget your PIN codes. Forget your passwords.
So, the new technology will have... It has a spot where you hold your thumb on the card. So as long as you're holding your thumb on the card, it's got your fingerprint on it, then you wave the card over just like a PayPass. So you wave it over the PayPass terminal and it pays. And then they'll be like, okay, so great. We've solved after all the electronic pickpockets have robbed half the people of the planet. Then they'll, say, okay, we got to do a fingerprint and chip and pin thing. And then you know what'll happen next? The thieves will be robbing people for their card and cutting off their thumb.
Their biometric identifiers.
Yeah, but I mean that's going to happen. The minute they get these security measures in, which is a lot tougher, that's what they'll do. You'll get mugged, and instead of just taking your wallet, they're going to pull out a knife and say, "Give me a thumb." Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that the thieves, the stealing is going to go through the roof, but there's going to be some stealing going on. There always is. And the only way they're going to get access to your card is with your thumbprint. So they're going to want to cut your thumb off. So thank you, Master Fraud and President Obola. I got no thumbs up to war ants. You friggin' bunch it.
Going to have a lot of people walking around with no thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's scary because that isn't biometric identifiers. Your fingerprint is supposed to be a unique thing.
Or your
same
eye.
With your iris. Your eye iris. That's the other one.
That's the easiest thing. I mean, it's secure now. I need the card and your fingerprint. So I got to rob you. So I'm going to need your card and I'm going to need your thumb. And it's going to happen if they do this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, hopefully they just threaten it and that it doesn't get too violent. It's like. They don't have to go through with it and start chopping off.
Yeah, but so many people have already been robbed from their bank or their credit card company from electronic pickpocketing. Now, the bank has not told them this. It's just every time you go to the bank and $3 or $4 or $6 or $1,000 is just disappears and you call the bank and you're like, what happened to my money? And they're like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And they don't give you any real reason. And then all of a sudden, they call you back. Oh, your money's back in. Don't worry. We fixed it. And no explanation. What the hell happened? This has been happening for years now, all over the place. It's because of electronic pickpocketing. And now people who have been ripped off will run to this new technology as if it's going to save them. They'll be lined up around the block. Oh, yes, I need to get one because, you know, I've had the money disappear to my account several times. And the bank replaced it, but, you know, how long are they going to do that for? What do you mean, how long are they going to do that for? When is the bank going to give you a damn explanation for the first time they did it to you?
You know, IBM is International Banking Machines. And they also specialized in concentration camps at one time in the Second World War era, IBM. Or they at least did the computer systems for that the Nazis were using. But they're still around. And then that's the thing, is that computerized systems started off as banking systems, if that's the origins of IBM, is like these old cash registers or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't do any banking whatsoever on my computer. At all. I never have. Never will. It's all going to be, if I go anywhere, I just use a check. I still got my checks. And you're going to need checks anyways to do certain things. So that's how I got all my 9/11 buttons and the everything else, my t-shirt. I went to a website and I wanted to order some stuff and I gave them a check.
Yeah, but they're trying to phase that out. That's the scary part.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're getting rid of all paper and...
It's all convenience.
I'm reading the comments here, and it's like people are just thinking of their own convenience and their own security, and it's like, what happens when somebody tries to rob you? Oh, they can't because they need my fingerprint. No, yes, they can. Give me your finger, punk. Get out of your car. Give me your wallet. Give me your hand, or the person's going to get shot. You know what I mean? And that's what it's going to come down to. And it's like, you people are idiots. Well, maybe they should put a chip in our arm and then our bank will be safe.
Well, then hey, John, that way they don't have to come to your house with guns drawn, breaking into your home, stealing all your jewelry and your money from your home. Might as well do it,
directly.
Directly. Direct
deposit. Directly deposit your money into the
account. Nobody gets hurt.
Yes.
Only your feelings.
Yes, in your bank account.
That's all. At least your house is still secure. Nothing wrong with your house. No broken windows or doors banged in or anything like that. Oh, hey, convenient.
Unfortunately, I do not see any stop with the implementation of this technology. The general public doesn't know how unsecure it is. They don't seem to care. They don't seem to be worried. So, I mean, I see them going full force ahead with this nonsense. And I expect to see massive amounts of money start disappearing from people's accounts and at different banks. And it'll be blamed on some hack attack, or maybe they'll blame Anonymous or some other random, unnamed group.
Yeah, when it'll
probably be a Russian group so they can connect it with Snowden. Because that's where you see this issue talked. It's the only time really it's talked about in the media is what the either Ed Snowden case or they're probably talking a bit now with the electronic stuff if Obama actually made this a law. Like, what was Obama saying? He made a law that now all cards have to have it?
Executive order they got to switch to chip and pin. An executive order. That's what it took. See, all the propaganda with the Target scam wasn't enough. So they had to sign an executive order. And that's all that was. All that Target propaganda was like, wait a second, they have magnetic stripe technology. That's way more secure. You're going to switch to the chip and pin? Okay. Let me know how that goes after the hack, everybody. Okay.
I don't know. Well, is it going to hurt him or not? I don't know. Maybe it's going to make him more secure.
They're just preying on the people's, the ignorance that they don't know how this technology works, so that they just the government said it's more secure, so it must be. The news said it's more secure, so it must be.
Global warming must be real too.
Yes, that's why the Great Lakes froze over last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I go to the bank, I look at the bank tellers as teller puppets. That's all they are. They don't know what's going on. They're just there to sell you their storylines and all that kind of stuff, but they're just puppets.
That is true. You go in there for business, and then they've always got something to mention, like you got a credit card, you've got a new line, or you got a special offer. There's always a special offer.
Yeah, they do that. Yeah.
But otherwise, they're I think the tellers are probably good people. It's just they're just doing it as a job.
Yeah, that's all it is, really.
It's just where it gets to the top, like, and then who actually runs the actual microchips? Because if every card has to do that, think of the production order. Like, who's actually running the factory and the business of putting these chips in?
Right.
Because it is something to think about, because these are supposed to be highly secure biometric things, but who actually makes the chip? Does anybody research that?
It's like, yeah, they obviously
the card's secure, access. But who actually created this?
Yeah.
And then it's got to be a huge business.
Yeah, and the people who created the magnetic strip, you could read the building. It says out of business.
Huh?
They're not in the business of it anymore.
Yeah.
They got a new business now.
They phased it out. See, and that's
hack
where
and attack.
It,
yeah.
That is where it gets scary, because the microchip is the next phase to the mark of the beast, where they can actually do a implanted one.
Yeah, it's getting everybody.
They've been working on it with the pets. That's the one thing. When we had Dr. Rob on,
right?
The
yeah, mm-hmm.
Veterinarian. He's like talking about how the pets are getting.
Yeah. See, right now it's just in the trial period, just to get everybody normalized by it, and then all of a sudden they'll put it in. Nobody will ask any questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or I guess Dr. Rob's mostly talking about the vaccines. I was actually asking about the. Chips from what I remember when we had that interview,
yes.
Because I remember I saw that setup where they had the chip truck and they're chipping all the animals, and it goes around to parks.
Yeah.
But then Dr. Rob was talking about the vaccines, because that's the other conspiracy, is that they could just hide these kind of biometric RFID radio frequencies like in a vaccine or something, you know, inject you with a chip without you even knowing about it.
Maybe that's how they do it. I can't see any other way of doing it, unless they
did it
separately.
It is how Cobra does it in the G.I. Joe, Cobra.
Yeah. I think that's how they do it. They just take it, and then they probably inject it with something that looks like a needle, and then they're like that, you know, and then all of a sudden it's in your dog. He just flinches for a second, and after about an hour or so, he's all healed up, and he's running around with all the other dogs. Guess look what I got.
Yeah, that's why I look out for the virus parvo that dogs are susceptible to vaccine, related to the Ebola vaccine, the Cryptonecroparvovulgaris virus.
Yeah, definitely something to look out for.
Definitely something to look out for. Yeah, they're going to do a Ebola vaccine. They're going to do a banking vaccine.
Well, after the big Ebola fraud or the Ebola scare, whatever happens with it, then maybe they'll come out and say, "Well, we got to go cashless because
we forgot to spread the
virus around." So this fingerprint and chip and pin card is perfect. You just hold it and then you wave it over.
Not the jungle.
Who knows what's going on with that?
Cash. They're saying cash
when
is dirty.
Successful.
The Apple's iPhone 5S has been very successful in the US, but we realize that people here in India cannot afford the iPhone. That's why we've decided to work closely with the Apples to bring the iPhone experience to India. We call it the iPhone 5X. The iPhone 5X was built with advanced new hardware. The phone runs on the new Apple's A10 Snapdragon 7870 HD 2-liter turbo Galaxy 29 GHz processor. Our advanced operating system features some of the best apps out there. We have classics such as Instant Gram, Samosa Crush Saga, World of Duty, Call of Warcraft, and Temple Run, in which you get to run from an actual mob of Hindu priests.
And to wrap it all up, we have 24/7 customer service lines in case you idiots need help with your new iPhones.
Hello, welcome to iPhone tech support. This is Ben Katesh.
Are you sure you're not one of those outsourced white people?